Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is truly moving by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth, and He loves us, and He desires to see us in the best condition. The enemy is desperately trying to keep mankind unaware of the love of God. I was thinking earlier today how God is on our side, and he's desperately trying to bless us in every way possible. He did everything He could do. He gave us salvation through Jesus Christ, and many wars were fought and won to bring about Jesus Christ. In the first generation, now, the sons of God married the daughters of men and had hybrid children. And once that happened, men became so violent, their thoughts were only violent continually. Now, remember, in those days, they lived a very long time. And I want to show you something that's, sin, everything in the kingdom of God operates from seed form. So does sin. Now, God didn't have anything to do with sin, but sin operates the same way. It looks good, seems good, but it is very evil. And it turns men into so corrupt that it's difficult for men to outlast sin, to the point that God cut man's days down to a tenth. Remember, the Lord told Adam, don't eat off this tree. He said, if the day you eat off this tree, you should surely die. You can eat off every tree in the garden except this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it really wasn't God's will for man to even know what evil was. All Adam needed to know is to avoid it. And today, to think about it, the same thing is true. The only thing you need to know about sin is that it will destroy you miserably, and the more you know about it, the worse it is. It's something to avoid. But now we know about sin, and we still don't understand the depths of what it can do. Over time, the love of this world will turn you so corrupt. It's unimaginable how corrupt a person can become over time. In our lifetime, a man can become very bad and hardened in his heart. There was a man who could drink hot scalding coffee. It didn't bother him. Kenneth Hagin talked about it, this Methodist preacher, that he was used to drinking very hot coffee. It didn't bother him. His tongue and his esophagus and his stomach couldn't handle it. But when Kenneth Hagin tried to drink, he could sip it, and he had to wait till the coffee cooled down. Well, my analogy is this. Your heart can be so hard that when you see somebody get killed, a person, not yours, but a person can be so hard in the heart that when they see destruction happen to somebody, it means nothing to them. They can kill without flinching. And they can sleep without, as if nothing happened. Well, this is how the first generation was when they were living 900 years. Now, the day that Adam ate off that tree, he died. Will Adam live to be 939 years? Yes. But remember, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But a day to Adam is 24 hours. The evening and the morning was the first day. Remember? 24-hour periods. That's in our time, how we measure time. All right, the way God measures time to Him is 1,000 years. And God gave us 6 days. And on the seventh day, He would reign. Now, God gave us this pictorial analogy of truth when He He restored the earth in our 24-hour period days. And on the seventh day, he rested. That was a 24-hour period. He didn't rest for 1,000 years, folks, in our time. 24-hour periods, evening and the morning was the first day. It was explained in Genesis, clear as day. But Adam didn't last a day with God. Not one of God's days, he didn't. And people have, you know, I never heard anybody teach that, but one day it dawned on me when Peter said that a day to God is 1,000 years. Peter had this revelation, that's why he said that. The millennial reign is one day with God. Man has never lived a day, not on earth. See, Enoch was taken and Elijah was taken, but they didn't live 1,000 years on earth. But Adam did. I mean, Adam lived to be 939, which is a huge long time to us. People would pay millions of dollars just to live another 100 years in good condition. But Jesus gave us eternal life. Now, back on track. Many wars were fought and won just to bring about Jesus Christ. The first generation, they didn't want God in their thinking. They knew who God was. They did not worship idols. They were very hateful people. And their imaginations were only evil continually, to the point that God had to wipe them out. But God found grace in Noah and his family. And chiefly Noah. And because of Noah, his sons and his wives were saved. So, the Lord was able to restore the generations of men through Noah. Now, that family was also infected with the giants because we had giants after that. But Noah's line was pure. And Noah was pure. He was not a hybrid. And his sons, especially Shem, was not a hybrid. But you see giants forming in Canaan land. Nonetheless, God saved us all. Jesus died so everybody could be saved. It's not your fault if you're a hybrid. Believe on Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. God loves us. Now, the Lord's love runs deep towards us. So, the enemy hardens men's heart against Jesus Christ while they don't understand everything. He have to do things in the dark to get away with it. But if he can harden a person's heart enough, they won't care what's right or what's wrong. Those are stages and depths of satanic debauchery, sin. And, you know, people are mildly flirting with sin now, but sin has a hook side that's just unimaginable. And the Lord has so much mercy on us, and people do hideous things, and God still wants us to forgive them, and he still wants to forgive them if they'll just turn their heart. He can save them. But he wants us to forgive, just like him. We're still dealing with relationships. And I'm explaining some things so that you can understand God's position. If God has to judge a person, what happens to them is very brutally terrible. Even if they did you wrong, and even if they don't have a real revelation of what sin is doing to them. They're looking at what they're looking at. What their desires of wrong things is bigger in their mind and thoughts and in their eyes than God is. They don't know that they're trapped. They don't know that they're going to be destroyed. And remember this about people who sin much. When they have a full revelation of the love of God towards them, they love much. And sometimes the very people, just like Apostle Paul, you understand he was a terrorist before he was an apostle. He was a terrorist. Nobody liked him. The Jews didn't like him because he turned. He got saved. The church didn't like him because he tried to destroy them, and he did. He had them put in jail and some of them killed. He was a terrorist now. But he did it ignorantly. Once he got saved, he understood. Before he was saved, his heart was hardened against what he did not understand. He thought that Jesus was another sidetrack, and the law of Moses was perfect. And he honestly did not know until he heard Stephen preach, and the word got in his heart. And then a war happened. See, when the truth of God's word get in your heart, it's like an attack against the doubt and unbelief and the wrong things you believe, things that cause you not to know God. All of your perceptions are on trial. So it is with anybody. That's why people need the light of God's word. That's why they need your love. Even while they're wrong, and even while they're dangerous, and even while they are upsetting you. And see, if you decide to love them, now God has something to work with. You love them, even though they're doing you wrong. Now God will give you the wisdom in how to deal with them. Because you love them, now he has something to work with. That he can give you wisdom to subdue them. They won't be able to harm you, because you're going to operate according to the wisdom of God. And the more you know about his word, the better you can live. The better you can deal with things. You can take authority over demonic activity. Let's say a person is dangerous, even deadly. If you can believe the word of God about authority, you can take authority over the demon that's trying to make them dangerous. The Lord taught me, when you remove Satan, people are not that dangerous. They're not hard to deal with anymore. They're not dangerous like they once were. You take Satan out of the equation. All you got to do is tell Satan he can't use them against you in Jesus' name. They still have a will. They still have their same thoughts and perceptions, but they're not activated. In order for people to commit murder and dangerous things, they have to be activated. They're made in God's image. When they can reason, they won't rob banks and shoot people and join gangs. But when you tell Satan, you can't use that person against me, or you can't use this gang against my children, they can't kill your children. They cannot. Because angels, you put something in motion that can't be reversed. Now, if you believe it with faith and no doubt in your heart, you take an authority and you won't budge. They cannot kill your child. I know what I'm talking about, because I've seen gunfights. I heard the gunshots, bullets coming out of the barrels. And I told Satan, you cannot kill anybody and you cannot hurt anybody. And I had 100% success in this. It was amazing. The Lord said, when you tell Satan to stop, he has to stop. I seen the guy had a gun point blank in range to shoot Larico, my next door neighbor's child. Larico came out the porch and his best friend had fell out with him, pulled the gun and pulled the trigger and it didn't go off. I said, Satan, you can't kill him in Jesus' name. And the gun would not fire. Larico ran down the street and he shot the gun, but he missed him. A spirit of murder was on that boy. And that was the second time. About a year before that, another guy wanted to kill Larico. had a gun to his head. I said, Satan, you cannot kill him in Jesus' name. You can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And it was behind my truck in my backyard. I was working on my truck, putting heads on my truck. And I heard a commotion and I went and I saw him. He had a gun against LaRico's head. I said, and I immediately said, Satan, you can't kill him in Jesus' name. The boy didn't, they didn't hear me. I said it under my breath. Then I said, hey, if you kill him, it ain't worth it. And the guy backed up, put the gun in his pants and walked away. When you take authority over Satan, Satan has to obey you. It's like turning the fire off of a boiling pot. I've seen people do this so many times. When I hear it brewing, an argument brewing, I say, stop it, Satan, in Jesus' name. And they say a few more words and walk away. Now, if I didn't do that, it would have turned into a murderous gunfight. You have authority. So if the people that are dangerous, the people that are brutal around you, you can take authority over Satan. Never stop loving them. But then the wisdom of God, how to talk to them, what to say or what to do. Now, the Lord know your level of faith and what you're capable of. Some people, he may tell you to leave. Just stop and just cold turkey, leave. And don't come back. Or move out of town. Some people, he may say, call the police, let them get locked up. That doesn't mean you don't love them. You have to pay attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will fill in your blanks, not me. No man can fill in the blanks except for those who God used. You have to have a heart of understanding. Never stop loving people. And if you can believe God, he'll show you what to do. But anytime you're in danger, tell Satan, you can't kill me. You can't kill, you know, my children, my family. You cannot use this person against my house. In Jesus' name. And by house, I mean your descendants. Or your sisters and brothers, your father's house. You don't even have to know them. If you hear people arguing, you can tell Satan, you can't kill each other. You can't cause them to kill each other. Now that won't completely solve the problem, but it will arrest it for a season. And you can pray, and God will give you wisdom on what to do next, how to minister to people. See, the church has been living without these wonderful blessings of God for too long. They've been living without authority. They've been living without wisdom, guidance. They don't even expect it. So their relationships die. People die that don't have to die. People don't want to pray anymore. Now, I don't formally pray. If you see me walking around, I'm praying. 90% of my day, I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord, listening to the Lord. People don't know that, but I do. My mind is on the things of God. I listen to the word, and I don't just listen to the word. I'm hearing the word of God. And when I hear things that reach out to me, I ask the Lord my questions. I pray. I ask the Lord what's on his heart. I listen to see what he has to say. I'm listening. I'm talking to the Lord at least 90% of the time of my daily. You know, if somebody said, let's go pray, I'm already praying. It's good to go and just absolutely pray and nothing else. But I work a lot. I had to learn how to do this. I want my time. I take time with the Lord. Now, after all my daily activity is done, my house is quiet. Everybody's going to bed. I lay still before the Lord. I say, Lord, what is it that you want to talk about? And it can be anything. I ask him, I usually let him give me a scripture just to get it started. And he'll give me a scripture, and I'll read the scripture and see if he has something That's within that chapter. He usually give me a chapter, sometimes just a verse. And then it'll put my mind it'll help me to go in the direction that he wants to go, and we'll dialogue a while before I go to sleep. And sometime I'll wake up thinking about that scripture, and we'll talk about it the next day. Now, I'm still enjoying everything, and I relax too. I like to watch TV. That's one thing that I do just for fun, watch TV. I like to watch movies. But I like to watch movies that inspire me. Things that I do spiritual warfare a lot, so I like things that when people are trying to accomplish something and they're overcoming opposition, things like Lord of the Rings. You know, they're trying to do good and evil is out there trying to fight. I like to see people win. I like things that make me think. But in relationships, it's good to, you have to have love towards people, even they need you to. And when people know you care about them, you'll be surprised how it can help them come out of the darkness. The darkness is a captivity. It's vicious, folks. And you don't want your loved ones trapped in that vicious cycle. That only gets worse. It only gets worse. They have to be saved. What they're being saved from is what's going to happen to them over time, the fire of hell, the misery that they're going to cause, and the misery that people are going to cause against them. Because people respond to evil. If people say things while they're in darkness, people get offended. And when they get offended, they retaliate. And they'll talk about your children that's not saved while they're doing things that's wrong. They offend people. If you can live without following God, you're going to offend people along the way. You're broadcasting a... If sin is not destroyed out of your life, it's going to cause problems within your life. And over time, it gets worse. It only gets worse. The faster a man gets saved and come out of darkness, the better he will live. That's why your relationships make a difference. The way you do things is important. The people that you... bless, it's worth it. If you study 1 Peter and do those things, learn to love like Jesus loves you. Love other people, even the most contrary people, just like Jesus loved you. You're going to see that it's worth it. And I'll do more broadcasts on relationships until the Lord give me another topic. Because it's necessary. If you love like Jesus loves you, it puts... You can turn the tide in the lives of almost everybody you know. At least you can expose to them that God loves them, so they'll have a living chance. And everybody needs that living chance. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.